What's up?
Hey.
Welcome back to the Blues Library podcast. I'm Ashley, and I'm joined with my lovely co-host, Lexi.
Hello.
And today, we are going to be talking about a book.
Who would have guessed?
I know, right?
I mean, nobody would have guessed that. All right, so jumping into it, we've got spoiler warning and trigger warning.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, yeah, I didn't write it down like I normally do. All right, so trigger warning, there is sexual harassment. I guess you could call it sexual abuse at some point. Yeah, not fun stuff at all. So if that makes you uncomfortable, go ahead and get us on another episode that's not quite so deep. Spoiler warning, other than The Legacy, we've both read this series and the Briar U series, so there will probably be spoilers, just a heads up. If you have not finished it, just don't read this, please, because, or don't listen to us. Oh my god, I'm having issues today. The book we're going to be talking about today is The Goal by L. Kennedy. It is book 4 in the Off-Campus series. Why don't you take us away with a synopsis, Ash?
All right, here's our brief, unbrief synopsis. okay, so we kind of go back in time from when the deal ended. That's the most recent one, right?
No, so the it goal. Kind of starts...
No, that's the one we're at. No,
it starts... Score. No, it starts in The Mistake. Because remember how he's talking about how Logan just declared his love for Grace over the radio?
Yeah. The names are so similar that I can't. Okay. Plus, I don't know why, I always think that The Mistake is this book because they make a baby by mistake. Anyway.
I feel.
Okay, so Sabrina meets up with her friends at Malone's, which is the hockey bar in Hastings, to get a drink after a little get-together where the professor has set up a meeting with someone to put a good word for her in at Harvard, because that's where she wants to go to law school. Tucker is at Malone's with his teammates after one of their hockey games. Sabrina and Tucker's eyes meet across the bar. So cute. And after Tucker buys her a drink, Sabrina agrees to one night with him. Read number one. Okay. They go out to Tucker's car, and after two amazing orgasms, she gets a little too excited for his penis to be inside her. When then she starts to go down, but Tucker stops her after the head is in, and then they put on a condom. But apparently it's okay, because they're clean, she's on birth control, and it was just the tip, okay?
Cute eye roll. Really quick, I don't think they actually ended up putting a condom on, because...
They did.
Did they really? I thought that they didn't, because she was clean, or they were both clean, no, and she did. Was on birth control. Hmm, okay.
They did.
Interesting. I forgot that part.
Yeah, it was just the tip. That's why there are all those, like, just the tip comments throughout the whole book. Okay. The weather is really bad, so Tucker makes Sabrina agree to either text him or he'll follow her home to make sure that she gets home okay, because she lives in Boston, which is an hour drive. She agrees to text him, however, he doesn't believe that she will, so he follows her anyway. Sabrina lives with her grandmother and her stepfather, who are fucking each other. Ugh.
Nasty.
I, like, legit just threw up in my mouth. And her stepfather, Ray, totally wants to fuck Sabrina as well, and he's just really fucking disgusting. Sabrina blocks Tucker's number to keep from giving in to the temptation of another night, and that keeps her one-night rule intact. But Tucker hunts her down and says he wants to explore the connection they had when their eyes met. Oh, hard eyes.
Dreamy eyes.
She says no, and because Tucker is a true gentleman, he doesn't chase her. After worrying about possibly not being accepted into law school, Sabrina finds out that Ray is hiding a letter from Harvard for her. She got into Harvard!
Yay! Woo! Oh, I keep hitting the microphone, my bad. I'm so sorry, everybody.
Tucker goes to Boston with a few of his teammates to party, and when they're there, they go to a strip club, and he finds a very startled Sabrina working there as a waitress. While another patron of the strip club is being really sleazy and trying to get Sabrina to give him a lap dance, even though she consistently tells him that she is not a dancer, Tucker gets pissed off with the pushing and steps in. After an almost fight where the sleazy frat guy almost gets beat up by her wonderful hockey gods, Sabrina accuses Tucker of following her. They talk, They agree to hang out after she gets off work. They go back to her place and she's embarrassed, but Tucker makes her feel comfortable because, again, he's a fucking gentleman.
Your favorite word is coming up.
Stop it. I hate this word.
Okay. You don't have to say it. You can say the actual term for it.
No, I gotta say it. She gives him a blowy. They fuck, and then Ray comes to her room being a douche canoe after Tucker stands up for her and Ray leaves. Sabrina says she's tired and Tucker leaves. Sad face. Another day when they're on the quad on campus, Sabrina gets jealous when Amber, some girl, is all over Tucker. Her and her friends try to leave, but Tucker isn't having any of that shit and goes over to them. When he asks why she was ignoring his text, she goes on to admit that she's embarrassed about him seeing the way her stepdad treated her and the fucked up shit that he said. So then she tells Tucker that she needs to focus on school and work so that she can get away from the life that she lived up until this point. And Tucker gives her a really heartfelt speech about wanting her but being okay with whatever she's willing to give him. Sabrina goes to watch his game, gets mega jealous that he's with his friend Sheena. Also, Sheena is an ex. Afterwards, she agrees to a double date with Tucker, and they decide to go to paint night for their date. And they end up having phone sex when she agrees. Okay. Turns out that paint night was actually naked painting night, but not like the naked painting that we all wanted, but like the naked painting where the model is naked and you paint them. So, they go to that.
I mean, isn't that way still great?
No, bro. Have you not seen the canvas art shit?
No.
Oh my god, it's where you buy, like...
You've told me about it, but yes. I've not actually seen one, but you've told me.
Well, listeners, naked painting thing is where you put a bunch of paint on a canvas, and then you and your partner have sex on it, and then you put it somewhere in your house, and then somebody's like, that's so pretty, and you're like, thanks, that's my cum stain right there. Anyway...
I wouldn't mind it, but I'd be too uncomfortable to have to actually explain to somebody. But then here's my other thing. Paint gets places paint should never be.
Yeah, it's a special kind of paint that comes with the canvas.
Oh, this is like a full ass kit. Oh, yeah, bro. Oh, okay. I guess this changes things. Let's continue.
Okay. So, the holiday break comes. Tucker goes home to Texas and spends some time with his mom. His mom tries to set him up with a girl that's, like, actively lesbian, and it's pretty funny because they both know and they're like, what the fuck? Anyway.
That part's funny, not the part that his mom, she was kind of,
she was trash about
it. She was not open-minded whatsoever.
Nope. Whoa, the foreshadow of what you just said. Okay. Okay, so from his lesbian friend, he gets a bunch of advice for how to give the best oral sex. So he talks to Sabrina about it. Anyway. Sabrina's at home in Boston and she's starting to get really sick. On New Year's Eve, Tucker comes back and they get a hotel together and Sabrina is still vomiting and she thinks it's a stomach bug or the flu because her grandma just had that. And then Tucker asks her if she's pregnant, and she hasn't had a period in 3 months.
Oh, gotta love when you're so naive that you're vomiting weeks later, thinking that it's just the fucking flu.
I've been sick for 3 weeks, okay? It's the flu, damn it. Okay. He goes to buy her pregnancy tests, and they all come back positive, so Tucker tells her that it's her choice, and he will support her in what she decides. There's honestly a really long time that she kind of wallows back and forth about what to do, and she finally decides that she wants to keep the baby. She hasn't really had the best home life, and she doesn't want Tucker to feel tied down because she accidentally got pregnant, so she won't let him do much for her. They decide to tell everyone, and after some pretty bad reactions, everyone comes around. They're really nice and supportive. Sabrina and Dean had some issues before. And when Dean confronts Sabrina about ruining Tucker's life, she breaks down and said she isn't trying to. And Dean realizes that she loves Tucker. Because Sabrina didn't want Tucker to regret his life, she decides she's going to keep living with her grandma and Ray. Oh my god, every time I say his name, I, like, throw up in my mouth, and now I'm, like, freaking out.
I was gonna say you were, like, you sounded really weird when you said that.
Dude, I'm gonna have a patient named Ray, and this is gonna fuck me up, okay?
You're gonna end up trying to talk to them and, like, vomit.
Yeah, okay. So, she wants to keep living where she's currently living after the baby's born. Tucker moves to Boston, and he ends up being roommates with one of his old teammates' brothers. His name's Brody. It's really funny. We'll get to that. Sabrina and Tucker can't decide on a last name for the baby. And one night, Sabrina is in her room studying, and her water breaks. So she calls Tucker. They go to the hospital, where she's in labor for a long time, and finally delivers their little girl. Tucker says, "I love you." And Sabrina kind of tenses, and Tucker's like, "Oh, I think she didn't think I was talking to her." And he goes, "I love both of you." And then Sabrina freaks out because she's really insecure and thinks he's just, like, riding the high of emotions of their daughter being born. So she decides not to acknowledge it. Yeah, we'll go with that. Anyway, they decide on the name James, Tucker calling her Jamie, so that their little girl can have both of their last names.
First of all, I just want to say that I thought that was actually fucking adorable.
I agree. I love, okay, this is might be a little weird. Maybe it's because I fucking love Blake Lively, but I love that their daughter's name is James. I love it so much.
I can't say whether it's the name necessarily itself or because I also love Blake Lively very much.
Yeah. Also, because, like, I'm probably not going to keep my last name, but I want, like, my kids to, like, have something, right? So I'm probably going to name, like, their middle names, like, Shades of Blue.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. That's awesome.
Oh, cute. Okay.
That'll be adorable.
So, moving on. Sabrina starts law school. It's really hard, and she's having a really hard time balancing Jamie and living with Ray and her grandmother and law school and whatever. She's really stressed, and she's not doing very well. Tucker finds a bar for sale and decides he wants to buy it and fix it up, which was his goal to begin with. So he buys it without telling Sabrina because he wants to surprise her, and he starts to renovate the apartment upstairs of the bar. When Jamie starts screaming one night, Sabrina tries to feed her, and Ray is being super creepy and tries to grab her other boob when Tucker comes in and punches him. Thank God. Did you see? I didn't even gag a little bit when I said his name that time.
Nope.
We're moving in a positive direction.
You're not going to vomit next time you have a patient that says Ray.
Tucker shows Sabrina the bar and the apartment, and they decide to live there together. Tucker's mom comes to visit and basically criticizes how the apartment looks and that Sabrina is out studying with other men and accuses Sabrina of trapping her son for Tucker's dad's inheritance. Sabrina stands up for herself and says that she loves Tucker and only wants him to be happy, but Tucker overhears, and so they have this really cute conversation. They admit that they love each other, and it's seriously, like, fucking adorable. They get married and they live happily ever after. The end.
Fuck yeah.
All right, Lexi, what does your makeup look like today?
I had to pull up my pictures because I totally forgot. All right, so she got into Harvard for law school. So I did black on the outer corners and then red on the lid. And the reason I did this is because I looked up the school colors for Harvard and it was black and red. So, yeah, that's really it. That's all I did. So what did you do, Ash?
On my one eye, there are a couple reasons I did this. Tucker is a ginger. The original cover for this book is black and white with orange lettering. And then also the name Tucker just sounds orange. Don't come at me. I can't give you a reason why. It sounds orange. So I did like an orange eye, basically. It's a lighter orange, like more of a pinky orange around the upper, like around the crease and kind of blended out. And then I did a more shimmer orange on the lid with my cut crease. And then on my other eyeball, I did what I was trying to do of the Sabrina smoky eye, because I feel like this bitch just is like this bomb ass smoky eye, you know what I'm saying?
You know she does.
You know it, bro. So I did a brown smoky eye with like a deep brown on the outer corner where it kind of fades off into a lighter brown, and then a like more gold shimmer on the inner corner. And that's what I did with my eyes.
They look good.
I tried.
Great.
All right, let's get into our discussion questions. Before reading this, what did you expect from this book?
Honestly, I wasn't really sure because other than in the deal, we didn't really get a lot of Tucker. And in the score, Dean's book, we ended up getting a lot of bad things being said about Sabrina. So I wasn't really fully sure what to expect. I didn't really know. I thought we were going to get something more where, like, maybe, I don't know. I just don't know. We didn't get a lot of Tucker, and the way we heard about Sabrina in the past books was just not nice things being said at all. So, what did you think?
I thought that this was going to be very similar to, like, other pregnancy trope books, basically. I read a lot of pregnancy trope. It's my favorite, one of my favorite tropes. So, I was expecting a, oh no, they had a night together and it was so fire, but they lost touch. And then now they're back together, and because they found out that they're pregnant and they're trying to build a relationship together, and like, we still get a lot of steamy sex throughout the whole book. And that was not the case this time. But I wasn't expecting, I didn't really know what to expect from Sabrina as a character, just because, like, she comes off as such a bitch in the other ones. And Tucker's just kind of like a background player in the others. But I was pleasantly surprised. I really liked this book.
What are your thoughts on Karen and Hope?
Karen, I thought, was funny as shit. I didn't really care for them at the beginning. Pun. But I liked their little nicknames. That she was careful and hopeless. And then I thought it was weird that Sabrina's nickname was B, because that's like the like middle letter of her fucking name, and that didn't make sense to me. Anyway, I liked them. I did not like them kind of in the middle when they were questioning Tucker, because I'm a ride or die for my hockey man. So that pissed me off.
Same.
But I liked that her friends didn't just fall off the face of the earth, because I've been told by a lot of, like, my pregnant friends that a lot of their friends do kind of fall off the face of the earth when they have kids. What about you?
I mean, I liked them at the beginning. And then, I'm not gonna lie, it kind of went, when Sabrina made her decision on what she was going to do as far as keeping the baby and everything, they weren't quite as supportive as I was hoping they would have been, being her best friends. They were like, well, are you sure? Law school is going to be hard. You've got to think about law school. And I'm like, dude, she already made her choice. Like, let her be. Stop trying to,
I agree.
That kind of pissed me off. But I did like how after they got over that they were there for her and they didn't fall off the face of the earth, like you were saying.
Mm-hmm. I definitely agree. Who did it right? Okay, Tucker or Garrett? So, in the first book, Hannah says no, and Garrett keeps chasing after her, and then it all ends up happily ever after, right? In this book, Sabrina says no, Tucker doesn't chase after her, but they still end up together at the end. So, who did it better?
I think no one did it right or necessarily wrong. It was right for them and the girl that they were chasing or not chasing. Mm-hmm. I think that it worked really well for Garrett and Hannah, for Garrett to continue chasing Hannah. And I think that it wouldn't have worked out at all well if Tucker had chased Sabrina, mm-hmm, when she said no. So I think it's just about who's involved, and I think that both situations were right in their own way and for those people.
I totally agree. No comment.
But it wasn't the answer that you wanted me to say the first time. You wanted to fight.
I know, I did want to fight.
And I never gave you one.
It's pretty unfortunate for me. Okay.
All right. What did you think about the serious consideration of termination?
I thought that it was really important to have a conversation like this in a book that does have this in it, because obviously I've said it before, I read a lot of pregnancy trope books, And a lot of times the first thing that the female says is, there's no way I'm going to give it up. But, like, that's not necessarily an option for everybody. And so I felt like it was a nice opposing point of view, almost. Not necessarily opposing, but an alternate point of view of a similar situation.
Right. I liked how the way it was written is it didn't alienate anybody based off of what they believe. It was there. I mean, and if they had chosen to do that, or if Sabrina had chosen to do that, then it would have been right for Sabrina. Mm-hmm. And I liked the way it was written. It wasn't turned into a big
political statement
thing. Yeah. Which is what I really, really liked about it.
I definitely agree. What did you think of Brody? And Brody is Hollis's brother, Tucker's roommate that he lives with when he first moves to Boston.
I'm going to be completely honest. Every time I've read this, after we're done reading about Brody, I forget about him. I remember certain things that made me laugh, but I think it was more so at Brody's expense, not because he was funny. I mean, when we really want to get down into it, he was a fucking piece of shit.
Yeah.
So, he was very much, for me, a forgettable character.
Yeah, I agree. I'm trying to find some of the quotes that I thought were really funny from him. Oh, when there's a fucking leak in the kitchen, and Tucker's like, yo, man, like, where are the tools at? And he goes, shit leaks, man. Life doesn't always give you tools. Tucker's like, I'd wanted to point out that, yes, life does give you tools. That's why we have a fucking Home Depot. And then I was like, this man, I fucking live for this. Oh. There's just some really funny moments at Brody's expense. And I loved that because it, like, they got to laugh together as, like, a couple.
Yes, very much so. How did your thoughts about Tucker's mom shift throughout the book?
Okay, so at the beginning, I love a mom's boy. I think it's the cutest thing. I then went to hating her because she was mean to Sabrina. And I was like, don't you dare be mean to my OG couple. Like, my OTP, they are my favorite right now in this book because it's only about them. So I was like, don't be doing this to my girl, whatever. And then in, like, the little epilogue, I feel like it wasn't really wrapped up all that nice. It was just kind of like, after we talked, we were okay. Which I didn't like because I was still mad at her. But those were my feelings. What about yours?
Just wait till you read The Legacy. It's not a bad sigh. Don't say it.
Okay. Like that. I was like, I don't know if I can hate this woman anymore. I don't want to hate her.
It's not a bad thing, I promise. Okay. I mean, I don't know. From the beginning, I had my issues with her. It's like what I said during the synopsis. She's not a very open person.
Yeah.
She's not open to other people's opinions. And even if she disagrees with it, that's fine. Disagree with it. But at least be respectful enough to not make that your reason for whatever it is you're doing, mm-hmm. or disliking somebody or whatever. That pisses me off. I didn't like how she was with Sabrina up until Sabrina said, I love you. Mm-hmm. I understand she was raised Tucker by herself and she just wanted Tucker to be happy and safe and whatever. However, the way that she went about that was kind of shitty, especially because she knew how Tucker felt about Sabrina.
Mm-hmm.
So I had very mixed feelings. And I still not sure how I feel about her even. Yeah. Still to this day, not sure how I feel about her. That's where we're going to leave that.
Okay.
I liked her at first for a second. And then I was kind of like, and then I was like, I can kind of understand why you're being protective. And then I went, I don't understand why you're being such a bitch.
Yeah.
That's how my thought process went.
Did you sympathize with Sabrina and her apprehension to saying, I love you, and being with Tucker fully?
Yes and no. The way Sabrina's life was, I understand, and the way that she has her plans. She is very much a planner. She has her goals. She wants to stick to her goals. So I understand, you know, having Tucker in her life and now having a kid kind of puts a little bit of a dent in those plans. So I can understand that. But I also felt like Sabrina was trying really, really hard to not admit it and not being like, hey, you know, I do love you, or even like sharing her like insecurities or how scared she was. That kind of got on my nerves a little bit, but I wasn't really like, you're stupid. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Like how sometimes I get where I'm like, you're stupid ass bitch. I understood it because I've had my fair share of times of being scared and not wanting to be open with my feelings, mm-hmm. but it was slightly irritating because I was like, come on, I just want you guys together.
Yes. I sympathize with her a lot because, like, it is a scary thing.
Mm-hmm.
Also, where are we supposed to get the angst if you're not? Like, you know what I'm saying?
I had enough angst in my own life that I don't need it in books. Actually, books. That's a lie. You can never have too much angst in books.
I mean, sometimes they give me anxiety, so I don't know that that's true. Anyway.
But those are, like, the best books to read, especially when you get to the end. Because it's like, oh,
I am finally, not a slow burn person.
I so am. Oh, I love slow burns. I can't stand books that are super fast.
Oh, bro, I read a book that's, like, fast as shit, and it's my favorite.
Oh, I can't do
okay.
that.
Okay. Also, I love that Sabrina is really apprehensive because it makes me love Tucker that much more because he is
mm-hmm.
fighting so hard, if that makes sense.
It also showed how patient he is.
I know.
And I was like, I could never. I do not have patience even close to probably a quarter of what Tucker has.
I feel.
So, like, props to him. Mad respect.
I totally agree. Oh, my God. I could never be a Tucker. No.
Absolutely not.
Like, goals in life is to have Tucker patience.
Oh.
What
were your what were your overall thoughts on the book?
I really, really liked this one. And I liked it a lot better on my second read through than on my first. After reading it this time, I put that I was like, I'm pretty sure that these two are like up, probably tied for first of my favorite of this series. And then it's Garrett and Hannah, and then it's Grace and Logan. Anyway, I really liked it. I thought it was very realistic to something that would happen in real life and how people would handle it in real life issues, real life problems. I really liked it. I thought it was great. What about you?
I agree with what you said. Except for...
Your ranking?
Nobody will ever beat Garrett and Hannah for me. But only because I relate so, like, so fucking hard to Garrett and Hannah. Or especially Hannah. That I just don't think anything will really ever compare for me. But I have a very emotional tie to that. So, I thought it was a very good book. I really liked it. I loved how... First of all, I just want to say, I love Elle Kennedy's writing. Like, her writing style, just everything about it. I loved that we got to see more from Tucker, being that we didn't, like, and it wasn't just surface level, mm-hmm. it was deep. But I also loved that we got to actually see before she got pregnant, or before we knew she got pregnant, and she knew, like, how Sabrina is, mm-hmm. and, like, got to know her, because... Just, you know, going into this book, I thought I was, like, I wasn't really excited because everything Dean said about Sabrina, I was like, I don't want to fucking read about her. So when I read it, it was kind of a shock to me. And I agree with you, like, the second time going through and reading it, I think I liked it a lot more because I already know
mm-hmm.
how Sabrina is. So.
I agree. All right. Let's get into our current reads.
All right. This week, I read Crave, Crush, and Covet by Tracy Wolf. It is the Crave series. All I'm gonna say is emotional damage. First book, fucking loved. Jumped straight into the second book. Second book, I was kind of like, by the end of the second book, I was like, oh, fuck no. Third book, I sobbed. And Ashley made me, because I was not going to read it. I was not going to finish this. I was going to read the goal first. And Ashley made me fucking call her. FaceTimes me and goes, call me when you start crying. I was already drinking at that point, so I was even more emotional. Oh my god, it was fucking horrible.
No, but when I called you, said, I was bawling too.
Yeah. I didn't want to read it, and she made me read it. Okay, correction. She didn't make me read it. She
strongly urged.
Tried to convince me to read it. Anyways, that being said, I won't read the fourth one until the rest of the series comes out. And even then, I'm not sure I want to read it. I'm not happy. although, all I gotta say, and Ashley knows, like, my new favorite couple of this series and who I absolutely ship more than anything in this world. Can't say it just in case you haven't read it because we're trying not to spoil current reads. Anyways, then I also read The Goal by Elle Kennedy. And because we tried to record this once and had technical difficulties, I'm just going to go ahead and say, hey, I already know what I read this week. So, I'm just going to tell you. I read the first paragraph of The War of Two Queens. And then I started reading Preppy. To be fair, I've had a lot of issues with my mental health. Ashley and I are very open about our mental health. I've not been having a great week. I've also been having a lot of stress with work, a lot of shit shows everywhere in my life. So I'm not reading. So I took a little bit of a break from reading. There's that. Anyways, Ash, take it away with your current
reads. Like completely different because when I start to get really stressed, I read more because I'm like, take me out of my life right now. So.
Okay, but my stress was that I had made a goal for my schooling, because my schooling is go at your own pace, and I wasn't hitting that goal because I didn't feel like I had enough time. So had I read, it would have made the stress worse, because I definitely wouldn't be hitting that goal. Plus, when I'm as stressed as I am, because I hold everything inside, and then it all explodes at once, like months and months worth of stress coming out at once, I can't focus on anything, so it took a lot for me to even be able to sit down and just read that one fucking paragraph of The War of Two Queens. So,
all right, so books I read this week, I read Crush and Covet from the Crave series. I bawled during Covet like a fucking baby. My boyfriend looked over and was like, are you crying at a book right now? And I was like, yes
sir, she is. Be nice.
But Covet also took me a little while to get through, so I because there were some parts that were really slow and I just wasn't feeling it. So
this series was funny because we were reading it together, kind of after Crave, and there were parts where this never happens. I got ahead of Ashley.
You also stayed up and then she would reading.
Okay, I couldn't sleep because of the stress. So, but then, like, there would be times where then she would get ahead of me, but then she'd pause, and then I'd get way ahead of her. Oh my god, that was just a
mess.
It was
a great little leapfrog moment. okay, so I also read The Goal and Promises and Pomegranates, which is book one of the Monsters and Muses series by Sav R. Miller.
Is it good?
It was real good. I really liked it. It's mafia, it's dark romance, like, it's a arranged marriage, there's, like, blackmail, all sorts of stuff. It's really good. I liked it a lot.
I've seen it a lot on Book Talk, and I was wanting to read it, but I'm always really nervous when nobody wants to say exactly what it's about, and then I'm like, maybe I can talk Ashley into reading this and then telling me if it's worth it.
I'll tell you the details after. Okay. Then I also read Master of Revenge, which is the third book of the Gods of Vegas series. It's really good. I really like the Gods of Vegas series. It's, this one is, like, I like the Gods of Vegas series by Sienna Snow because they're boss-ass bitches, and they, like, get with these, like, other boss-ass men, and the boss-ass men are, like, little puppies for their women. I love it.
I love that. I love that. I'm now gonna have to read it the way that you described
that. It's so good. I love it. Okay, so books I want to read this week. My current read right now is Praise by Sarah Kate. I also want to read Parks and Provocation by Juliet Cross. Praise has a praise kink, spoiler alert. That's why I'm reading it.
I would have never guessed.
And, Parks and Provocation is a book I just got in my, book mail. And then I want to read Cocky Gamer by Lauren Helms. That one I got in my book mail last time. I still am reading House of Sky and Breath. Okay, don't judge me.
No judgment here. This is a safe place. This is a safe space.
And then no judgment. I also this week want to read Master of Secrets, which is the fourth book in the Gods of Vegas series. And it's literally the book that I read the whole series over again to read again because I love it. But yeah, those are what I'm going to read this week.
Fun, fun, fun.
So if you guys want to hit us up, ask questions, talk to us. If you guys want to see our book looks, if you want to chat, hang out virtually, let us know. Send us a message.
Yeah.
TikTok, we've got blues.library. And Instagram, we've got blues.library and blues.librarypodcast. Yeah, what book are we reading next week, Lexi?
Next week is The Life and Death of Samuel Clearwater, Preppy Part 2. God, I fucking love Preppy. By T.M. Frazier. It is book 6 in the King series. And I am so fucking excited.
I am too.
I got to a certain point and I was like, my heart is broken. Anyways, moving on.
All right. Well, y'all have a great week. Drive safe. Use condoms.
Don't do drugs. Stay in school if you're in school. If not, like don't Ashley wants back. To say, don't go back, even though she chose her career path.
I know.
Although, to be fair, I chose a specific career path. I went to school for aesthetics for 6 months and then went back to college. I don't recommend.
Yeah.
It's just a piece of paper that you don't actually fucking need. Anyways, I mean, technically, I guess if you want to start out higher.
Be smart, okay?
Being an adult is hard, guys. Don't do it.
Yeah.
Just don't be an adult. That's my advice.
All right. Bye, y'all.
All right. Now that we're awkward enough. Bye.